The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing in involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, conveniently located right near the North Shore Mall. We have been doing financial planning, hard to believe. It'll be almost 50 years, April of 2018. So I guess that makes it the 48th year this year. I took over the business from my father back in 2007. Actually joined the firm in 1991. And Dad, it's going to hard to believe that in January of this year, Dad will have been retired for 10 years from the business. There are two certified financial planners in our office. There's both myself and my business partner, Marion Gilman, who is also a CFP. She's been with me 16 years. We also have a support staff of three or four other people. We manage about $330 million for our clients, and we have 450 households that all live within about a 10-mile radius of our office. So basically, anybody that listens to this radio show is a potential person who may either be working with us or may even be thinking about working with us. If you live in Rehoboth, I'm not interested in meeting with you. And so even those folks, even people that might be streaming the video, I'm happy to provide that financial advice in a language you can understand from wherever you might be in the world. But the bulk of our clients are going to come locally right here from the North Shore, from the Merrimack Valley, and from the southern New Hampshire area. Because we understand New England culture. We understand conservative behaviors of New Englanders. And I'll tell you, it's a lot different. It's hard to say conservative behavior of New Englanders when Massachusetts happens to be one of the most liberal states in the country. Generally speaking, New Englanders are very conservative in their behaviors when it comes to money. And it's something that we have to take into consideration. So when we're building financial plans, when we're building investment portfolios, when we're giving you advice about anything as it relates to your money, we're always remembering the conservative roots of the New Englanders, of where it all started, because a lot of that happens. Look, a lot of people that listen to this show started at the GE, or they started at Raytheon, or they started at Gillette, now Procter & Gamble. A lot of these big companies that they went to, and that's where they made their money. Or perhaps they started in the school systems. Perhaps they're a police officer or a firefighter, and they've worked hard all their lives. But they know as they watch their children coming out of the workforce that their lives are a little bit different, and perhaps yours are too. It's no longer about a pension and Social Security, and you're all set. Pensions don't exist anymore, rarely. I mean, they do for some. If you're working for the state, you're going to get a pension, but you won't get Social Security, you know that. That kind of is a lousy system, but nothing I can do about that. You can yell and scream as long as you want, but I don't think that's going to get fixed anytime soon. But most people have to rely on their own personal savings and the 401k balances that they might have, trust accounts, investment accounts, annuities, insurance policies, bank accounts, whatever it might be that you may have. And so what we try to do here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. is provide you with some financial advice in a language that you can understand. Because you know what? This stuff is getting more and more and more complex. And I try to take some of these complex issues, share them with you, because you know what? They are impacting your life. But what's interesting is many people turn a blind eye to it. They say, I'm not going to worry about this now. I've got to live my lifestyle today. I'm not going to worry about how much money I need in retirement. I'm not going to worry about how much I need to spend because you know what? I don't want to know. I just don't want to know. Look, many children in their 40s and 50s right now, they're making more money than their parents ever made. Yet those 40 and 50-year-olds can't seem to figure out why they don't have any money. While mom and dad worked really hard, making a living that was half of the 40 and 50-year-olds' living. And yet they've seemed to be able to put aside some cash, prepare for their future. And you know what? When they were doing it, when they were thinking about saving for their future, when you're 70 and 80, if you're a 70 or an 80 year old and you were thinking about saving for the future when you were 40 and 50 year olds, remember, interest rates were 14 and 18%. That's what you were using as a projection. That's what you were using as a budget. And you well know you've been very well surprised as you've walked into your retirement. That doesn't exist anymore. Yet our 50 and 40 year old children or 50 and 40 year old adults today don't know of 12 and 15 and 18% CD rates. They know of one. So you'd think they might try to save harder, put more money aside. But instead they spend more. Consumer debt higher than it's ever been before. Mortgage debt higher than it's ever been before. Student loan debt higher than it's ever been before. And that's in an environment where interest rates are low, where children are making more money than the generation before them ever made, and they don't have the money to show for it. It's sad to say, though, as I watch my own client base, and we watch people that walk in and out of our office. Well, most people walk in. They generally don't walk out because we have a great retention rate in our office. 98.7% retention rate over the past 15 years. We're very, very proud of that. The problem is that many of these 40 and 50-year-old children, they don't want to admit it, but they're waiting for you to die. They really are. It's sad. I see it all the time. They're hoping that their retirement will be supported by the inheritance that they receive from you. From you as the 70, 80, 90, or 100-year-old. Because many of you, let me try to see if I can describe you if you're 70 or 80. Perhaps you're still living in the same house that you purchased back in the 1970s. You paid $39.9 for your house, but today it's worth $450. Maybe it's worth even more than that. You don't plan on selling the house. In fact, you're planning on living off the income and the investment assets that you have, but you're not going to pull a window out of your house and turn it into cash. So your kids know, worst case scenario, they're going to inherit a house. And you know what? They don't want the house. And as much as you might want to hold out for the best possible price on the house, they don't want the house. They're going to sell it to the first person who's willing to offer them a reasonable check. And those kids will get that check tax-free. And you know what they're going to use that money for? Unfortunately, they won't probably put it aside for their future. They'll likely use it to pay off debts. And they'll hope that by paying off the debts, now they can start fresh in their 40s and 50s, perhaps even their 60s, and try to prepare for their future. It's a scary challenge, but we see this every day. And I know you don't want to admit it, or perhaps you want to just turn a blind eye to it. Perhaps you say, well, that wouldn't happen with some of my children. That's right. It may not happen with some of your children, but generally there's one. There's one that's going to handle it that way. So how do we make smart financial decisions for our children? How do we make smart decisions for ourselves? How do we make sure that we're communicating effectively with our children so that there aren't any surprises? Because oftentimes, your kids may not need the money that you have, and let's hope that they don't. But oftentimes, the kids that don't need it, they want you to spend it, and you're not. I see that happening a lot, too. Many seniors are not spending at the level that they could be spending so that they could maximize their experience in retirement. And what ends up happening is that they pass away and some of their children who have done well inherit all of this money and they didn't even want it or need it. And so what do? They use that money to go on more elaborate vacations, put that money aside for the future of themselves, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren. And that might be a wonderful legacy for you to leave. But in your retirement, I want you to live life to its fullest. That's what we do as financial planners, as a certified financial planner. We're having the conversations, the important conversations, because folks, the investing part, no matter how many times people tell you, the investing part is easy. It's not complicated. Don't let Cramer try to confuse you. Don't let all of the money talk shows that you see, even on a lot of these radio stations, on television, the books that you read, it's not that hard. Don't let the brokers that call you at 6 o'clock during dinner time to tell you about the great investment that you're missing out on. It's not that hard. The hardest part of investing is patience. It's being rational during emotional times. hardest part is not picking an investment. God, that is the easiest thing in the world to do. It's whether you have the temperament and tolerance to leave it alone when times get tough. We got a lot of things we want to talk about today. I brought my book with me, Retiring with Confidence for the Genius. I always forget the name of the book, Retiring for the Genius. I thought today I'd just flip through a couple pages here, find some things to talk about. There's also a few other items that I want to share with you as well. There's this, I keep getting these calls from people that are interested in buying an annuity. And oftentimes people call me for a second opinion. They've been solicited by some salesperson that says, I can get you income for life and pay it to you at a rate of 6%. And I'm thinking to myself, income for life at 6%? Man, that sounds pretty intriguing to me. There's got to be a catch. And you know what, folks? Every time I sit down with somebody and explain to them how this really works, they realize, oh, I knew this was too good to be true. So today we're going to talk a little bit about that. I also want to talk to you about a thing called the Department of Labor rule. Recently, the Department of Labor passed a rule that is requiring financial advisors to be fiduciaries. You're going to hear that word a lot, and that is going to go into effect April of next year. And it's going to be a challenge for a lot of people that are just in the brokerage world. If you have a stockbroker, if you have an insurance salesman, if you have a guy that just sells you mutual funds but doesn't do financial planning, if you have somebody that doesn't have a CFP designation, many of these people are going to find it difficult to serve in the capacity as a fiduciary. We're going to talk to you about that a little bit. I am a fiduciary. I've been a fiduciary for a number of years, ever since, frankly, I've had my CFP designation, which dates all the way back to 1993. Because as a CFP, you have an obligation to be a fiduciary, to act in the best interest of your client. But I'm going to talk to you about a little factor that's within this rule. And it talks about how you could save yourself some money. And it's an idea that not many advisors are bringing to the attention of their clients. But if you brought it to their attention, they might be very intrigued that you know about this. And you both actually could save a little bit of money. I think it's a smart strategy to do. It's not something that makes the advisor money, so they're not necessarily bringing it to your attention right now, but it will save you money. I want to talk to you about that in the second half as well, in one of the upcoming segments. And finally, I want to talk to you a little bit about how to begin saving money and putting money in your child's name. I know a lot of people are going back to college these past few weeks. You know, we've talked about 529 plans, and I think one of the accounts that get underrated or don't get overlooked are these things called UGMA, or Uniform Gifts to Minors Act, or UTMA, Uniform Transfer to Minors Act. We're going to talk to you a little bit about why this may make sense for you in some of your accounts. All right, a lot of things to talk about when we get through this. I want to remind you that each and every Friday morning, I put out a newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. It comes out each and every Friday at 10:30. It lands directly in your inbox or through email into your inbox. We highlight on little segments, little stories, some of the stuff that I share with you here on the radio as part of my newsletter each week. And then there's all sorts of ancillary other stuff as well. We have over 7,000 people now that subscribe to Planning Pointers. If you'd like to receive it in your mailbox, it's free. I promise you, I will not call you. I will not call you. You just get the newsletter. You want to unsubscribe, hit the unsubscribe button. No harm, no foul. I don't get my feelings hurt. You go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D. financial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of the website. There's a button there that says sign up for Mark's newsletter. Hit the button. You'll have to just put in your email address and you will be all set. And the following Friday, newsletter is in your inbox. All right. That's going to do it for us right now. We're going to be right back. We're going to take a little break and we've got lots more stories to share with you. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Isn't it time to get serious about your retirement planning? Friedman Financial is a financial planning and investment management firm in Peabody. They've been helping professionals and retirees put solid strategies into play for 40 years. When you're planning to get serious about planning for retirement, call Friedman Financial for a free initial consultation at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or go online to FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. You know what's coming up in about 6 weeks? And oh, you're going to hear me start talking about this, baby. Topsfield Fair coming up soon, September 30th to October 10th, I believe. I will be there running the B'nai B'rith booth again each and every year. We've had our big meetings. We are ready and geared up for a great season. You want the biggest hot dogs at the best prices. We're going to have them at the Topsfield Fair. And if you tune in the weeks leading up to the fair, oftentimes I give you a special code word or something to say. If you happen to be at the fair, come find me at the booth. And we got special treats, special prizes for you. So that's what's coming up for. But you know what I also know is coming up? Rain. We've been so blessed with great weather for the summer that it's almost, you can almost mark it on the calendar that when the Topsfield Fair comes around, it's gonna rain. All right, enough of all that stuff. Back to what we were talking about, financial advice in a language you can understand. I told you we're going to talk about a few things. One thing I want to talk to you about in this segment is this annuity idea. Now, I will tell you, annuities are one of those products that I believe are some of the most confusing products that are out there. I'm not necessarily saying that I recommend annuities or that I don't recommend annuities. What's important to me is that you understand what it is that you're buying. And oftentimes I find all too many people here telling me about an annuity that they purchased, and they tell me all about the great features, but they don't know the risks that go along with them. Well, recently I've had a couple people swing by my office, and they've wanted to get a second opinion. Someone was pitching them the idea that they could turn $200,000 into a $1,000 income stream for the rest of their lives. So think about that. You give someone $200,000, and then they will pay you $1,000 every month for the rest of your life. Now, you might be saying, first question, obviously, to ask is, well, how old was the person? You know, nice, if you're 97, you give someone $200,000, and they'll give you $1,000 for the rest of your life. That is no bargain. But I want you to imagine a 65-year-old who likely has, I don't know, 30 years left to live. They're selling this idea that you give them $200,000, give the annuity company, or it's actually an insurance company because insurance companies own annuity companies. You give the insurance company $200,000, they'll pay you $1,000 a month. And the annuity guy will tell you, and that means you're getting a 6% return on your investment. Huh, that sound interesting? I know that raises a lot of people's antennas because think about that. You know, 1,000 times 12 is $12,000, or 6% on $200,000 is $12,000, right? So that's $1,000 a month. I think, wow, that's pretty sweet. Now, what happens if you die? Oh, well, if you die, I'm sorry. It ends. What do you mean it ends? So my family gets the $200,000, you just stop sending me the income? Oh, no, 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 no. When you give, this is what's called an immediate annuity. You give an insurance company $200,000. They now own your $200,000, and they're making a bet with you. They're making a bet with you. And the bet is we will pay you $1,000 a month for the rest of your life. Now, you can do the math and say, okay, well, 10 years times $12,000. Remember, we talked about $1,000 a month. 10 years, that gets you to $120,000. 20 years gets you to $240,000, right? Because 20 years times 12,000 is $24,000. So remember, you gave somebody $200,000, and in the end of 20 years, you'd get $240,000 back. You're going, oh, that's pretty good. Yeah, but what if I told you that you died after that 20th birthday? What do your survivors get, or your spouse get? They get nothing. They get nothing. They don't get $200,000 back, the original $200,000. You got $240,000. Remember, they told you that they were paying you 6% on $200,000. No, that's actually not how they said it. They just said that they're paying you 6%. Not 6% on $200,000. They're paying you 6%. You have to be very careful with how they present things. You're giving up your $200,000. So is it now a good investment that after 20 years, your $200,000 has produced in total over 20 years, $240,000. You've made $40,000 over 20 years on your $200,000 investment. That is a poor, poor investment. But at some point, you win. At some point, you win. What if you lived 40 years? What if you went from 65 to 105? You gave him $200,000. You now got back $480,000, right? 12,000 times 40, $480,000. Now, does that make sense to invest $200,000 so that 40 years later, you can have 480, basically double your money? It's still a lousy investment, but at some point you're beating the system. You got to look at the consideration that there's low interest rates, but no one's getting the original $200,000 back. You have to be careful about that. There are some products that will pay you income on the value of the amount of money that exists. That's how bonds work. You put $10,000 into a bond, $100,000 into a bond, and they say, we will pay you 4% on your $100,000 bond. You put in $100,000, you're going to get $4,000 in interest. And when that bond matures, you'll get your $100,000 back. That's how that works. Same thing with a CD. I don't care whether it's 0.25 or 25% in your CD. You get the guaranteed amount of money that you put in. You get that amount back when the term is over and you've been getting interest along the way. A lot of these annuity companies are leading you. Well, it probably what you're hearing may be different from what they're saying to you. I don't want to blame the annuity companies because they know what they're doing. But sometimes it's easy for us to misinterpret what we're hearing. And I want you to be extremely careful. It's funny, about 20 years ago, 15 years ago maybe, there were some annuity products that were some great ideas for people to consider. Fabulous ideas for people to consider. But all we would hear in the news is how bad annuities are. Annuities are a ripoff. They're too expensive. They're too there's too high of a commission, too big of a problem. Well, I will tell you, the people that bought annuities 15 years ago are loving the fact that they bought annuities 15 years ago. They're loving it because the offers were so much better back then. Now, today, with interest rates being as low as they are, cash paying nothing, people worried about the stock market, people worried that Donald Trump might be president of the United States, people thinking that there could be a terrorist attack. We don't know what's going to happen. So people say, I want guarantees. I want a guarantee. And so now people are coming to my office asking for an annuity when 15 years ago, when I was trying to present the idea of an annuity to a client saying this was a good idea, they go, oh, I've heard annuities bad. I can't buy that. And now they're willing to buy it at the worst possible deal, worst possible time, because they want that guarantee. Folks, we need to be rational about investing. I don't care whether it's annuities, mutual funds, stocks, bonds, real estate. I don't care what it is. We have to stop allowing the emotions of the day, the economic climate of the next 15 minutes, 15 hours, 15 months from driving our long-term investment decisions. That's what we're doing. And it's wrong. And it's a mistake. And we have to stop it. But there's a lot of people that are hungry. Lots of people that are out there are hungry. You know why? Because the world is changing. The mutual fund world. People that sold mutual funds for a commission are all of a sudden seeing their world get squeezed. The days of high commissionable mutual fund products are going away. The day of being able to show a variety of different mutual fund options to clients, A shares, B shares, C shares, D shares, Z shares, M shares, I shares. They're going away because what the Department of Labor and the Securities and Exchange Commission realized was that it was a way for investment houses and investment brokers to make money without having to expose it to the client. Many of the advisors, if you work with an advisor that's what's called a fee-only advisor or someone that charges a fee for their assets under management, you can feel very comfortable that you're seeing transparency. You know what you're paying. Now, you might not look at the statement. You might not try to figure it out. But I will tell you, it is as plain as it can be on your statements to know that. And your financial advisor would more than happily tell you what you're paying. But if you've been paying commissions right along, or don't even know how you're paying your advisor, which just absolutely blows my mind, the number of people that walk into my office and they say, when I ask them, well, how does your advisor get paid? Well, I don't know. I never bothered to ask. I assume he's getting paid by somebody. He's getting paid by you. Nothing's free. We had a client call our office, a prospect call our office that said, you know, hey, Mark, I hear you on the radio. I'd love to come in and see you guys. I know you offer a free initial consultation. I definitely want to take you up on that. But then we'd like to see you do some financial planning. But I really have a problem with the fact that you charge a fee for your financial planning advice. And I'm like, at least I'm telling you that I'm charging you something. It's not that I'm going to do it for free and you know that someone else is going to pay me. I want you to know we need to be transparent. You need to see how you're paying for things. It's important. And did you know that commissions are not tax deductible? Commissions that you pay are not tax deductible. But get this. Financial planning fees, legal fees, tax preparation fees, investment advisory fees are potentially tax deductible if they exceed 2% of your adjusted gross income. Now, what does that all mean? What's adjusted gross income? That's the number that appears on the bottom of your 1040 in your tax form. You get a 1040. It's a two-sided form. If you look at the very bottom of that page, take a look at your 2015 statement. That number at the bottom, it even says next to it, adjusted gross income. It actually carries over, by the way, to the top right-hand corner on the back page. Figure out what 2% of that number is. Let's say you made $100,000 as your adjusted gross income. 2% of that number is $2,000. So if you have fees that you've paid to attorneys, accountants, tax preparation fees, investment advisor fees, financial planning fees, if those fees exceed $2,000, anything over that $2,000 amount is potentially tax deductible to you. Who's telling you that? I am. Your accountant probably is, but many investment people aren't. You need to know this stuff. You need to take control of your own personal finances, of your retirement, especially as you're approaching retirement. You don't have the resources and people to turn to. If you want to turn to someone who takes this seriously, if you want to turn to a certified financial planner and the firm that employs them, I'd love for you to come in and talk with us for a free initial consultation. I'd be happy to meet with you and meet with many of you. And I got to take a break. As my producer's staring me down. We'd love to talk with you, and I will talk with you when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Do you need a personal, professional, or business website that fits your budget? Mead Web Design of Danvers develops and maintains websites for small and mid-sized businesses. They're a full-service web company, so you can rely on them for design, hosting, and ongoing maintenance services. Call Mead Web Design at 978-222-3722. That's 978-222-3722. Or go to meadwebdesign.com to request a quote. That's meadwebdesign.com. Mead Web Design. Websites that work.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Labor Day weekend, I've sent my two daughters off to college. Mindy started her junior year at Babson College last week. We dropped off Alana yesterday over at University of Rhode Island. And so my wife is home now with three boys. It is she, the three boys. Actually, she says the four boys because she lumps me into that group. So it'll be interesting. We're looking forward to it. I got two boys over at the high school now. My youngest, Corey, is starting his last year at the middle school. A lot of great stuff going on. I hope you have a great school year. I hope you're planning on having a great fall and that your kids are all settled in and learning their way. Well, one of the things that has come up with kids is, you know, as people were paying college tuitions, a lot of people have used these 529 accounts. And I like the 529 accounts a lot, a lot. But you need to be sure that you're buying what's appropriate for you. Did you know that each state in America has a state-sponsored 529 plan? In Massachusetts, Fidelity sponsors it. In New Hampshire, Fidelity sponsors it. But did you know that you can buy anybody's plan? In Alaska, John Hancock sponsors it. In Rhode Island, it's Invesco. In New York, it's TIAA CREF. In Virginia, it's American Funds. In Pennsylvania, it's Vanguard. It goes all over the place. But did you know that as a resident of Massachusetts, you're not restricted to buying any one particular 529? You can pick any state if you want. Now, something of interest, maybe of interest to you. Did you know that both, like I said, both Massachusetts and Fidelity offer 529 plans. Do you know which 529 plan you bought? If you buy the Massachusetts one, you don't pay commissions. If you buy the buy the New Hampshire one, you do. And it's pretty much the same exact plan. Some are called Fidelity Advisor Funds, and some are just called Fidelity U-Fund accounts. I would encourage you to take a look at your statement. Does yours say Fidelity Advisor, or does yours say Fidelity U-Fund? Now, chances are if you bought it through a financial advisor, you probably bought the New Hampshire plan because they earned a commission. Now, I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but I just want to be sure that you're getting advice from your financial advisor on the 529 plan. If not, why not just go and buy it yourself? Let me tell you, 529 plans are some of the easiest things to buy in the world. Think about this. When you buy a 529 plan, you can buy what's called an age-weighted program. What that means is that based upon the age of your child determines the amount of money that will be allocated towards stock funds, bond funds, and cash. So if you have a one-year-old, knowing full well that you'll need to use the money between their 18th and 22nd birthday, you got a long time. So wouldn't it make the most sense to put the bulk of the money into the stock market and a small amount into bonds and cash? Sure it would. And how about when they start turning 5 or 6? Wouldn't it be nice to know that somebody is tooling it back a little bit? Maybe instead of having 90% in the stock market, now you have 80% in the stock market and it moves to bonds. Now this happens automatically. Automatically, this is age-weighted. So when they get to be 16, 17 years old, now the bulk of their money is in bonds and cash. So that if the stock market corrects itself just before the kids are going to school, you're not at too much of a risk. It's an interesting strategy, but one that requires you to leave things alone for a very long time. And that's one of the problems that we have in America. When you try to do this on your own, when you try to do this without the help of a financial advisor, generally, people will own their investments for 2.7 years. That is not a long-term hold. That is not a long-term investment strategy. What's more interesting is the people that work with financial advisors hold their investments 2 to 3 times longer, and as a result, oftentimes have better performance. So before you start doing this thing on your own, and yes, it is easy to do a 529 plan, ask yourself, will you have the temperament to act rationally during emotional times? Now, I'm not saying one way is better or the other way is better. You have to figure out what works for you. There's a lot of plans out there. Look, if you use the Fidelity plan, you basically buy Fidelity funds. If you use the John Hancock plan from Alaska, you can have a multi-manager collection of funds. Like I said, I'm not favoring one over the other. You just need to know what's available out there. If you search on 529 or savingforcollege.com, savingforcollege.com, great website to go to. It takes a look at all of the 529s that are available out there. All the product offerings, all the states in which they're offered. Because, for instance, if you live in New York, you'd be foolish not to use the New York plan that's offered by TIAA Cref. You know why? You actually get a tax deduction for putting money into your state-sponsored plan. Now, if an advisor were to tell you, if you lived in New York, an advisor were to say, I know you got this TIAA Cref plan in New York, but I think you should look at the Fidelity Advisor plan up in New Hampshire. Whose interest is best being served there? You're missing out on a tax deduction and the advisor's making a commission? I think that's a problem. So you want to be sure that you understand. If you live in Massachusetts, you have there's no favorable tax benefit to choosing the Massachusetts plan over any of the others. So do your work. Investigate it. Take a look around. But I will tell you, besides the 529 plan, by the way, I should tell you this. The 529 plan, how this all works, you put money in. You put your after-tax money, money that's in the bank, whatever you might have, into the 529 plan. The 529 plan goes in there, and it's for the benefit of Junior. So let's say Mom has to be the custodian on the account, and then Junior is what's considered the beneficiary on the account. If the money is used for Junior's benefit for college, not for high school, not for private school, for college to an accredited school, money comes out tax-free. You don't pay any tax on the earnings. It just goes tax-free, and it's really easy We've been doing this all week, actually, all past couple weeks, with helping some of our clients send their 529 monies to various colleges. And what if Junior decides he doesn't want to go to college? Or he decided he'd join the Kari Krishnas instead? Or he's, I don't know, just wants to work in a trade and he doesn't want to go off to college? You can transfer Junior's money to Samantha's money if you have another child. You can transfer it without any cost. You can do that once a year. Lots of flexibility. What if you don't have any more kids that are going off to college, but you say, maybe I'd like to save this for the grandkids? Could move it over to their name. Anybody who's considered part of the extended immediate family, nieces, nephews, grandchildren, uncles, aunts, if it's being used to an accredited university or college, no taxes to pay when the money comes out. What if you decided you wanted to go back to nursing school? No problem. Use that money. It just has to be, just change it to you being the beneficiary. Not a problem at all. But there are other times when you say to yourself, you know what? I want to put some money aside for my kids and my grandkids, but I don't want it to go to college. I want them to have it when they're out of college, or perhaps to use it while they're in high school. And that's where these UGMA or UTMA, they're oftentimes UGMA or UTMA accounts. What happens with those? You set them up anywhere you want. You can set them up at a brokerage office, at an investment advisor office, at a bank. What happens here is you use your name, the adult's name, as the custodian on the account. But the owner of the account is your child. And you use your child's social security number. Now, remember, your child's social security number is nice, but your child is still a minor, if they're still a minor, of course. And they can't touch that money. They need to go to the custodian, you, to have access to the money. But if you want to take money out of that account and use it for Junior's bicycle or computer or pay for private school or give him money for an apartment, whatever it might be, you can do that. And if you have these accounts where they're under 14 years old, there's a significant tax benefit to maintaining these UGMA accounts. I want you to think about this. Here's how the rule works. It's called the kiddie tax. The first $1,050 that is earned in the UGMA account for the year is free of tax. You don't pay tax. Remember, this is on Junior's social security number, not yours. The second $1,050. So now we're up to $2,100. But the second $1,050 would be taxed at Junior's tax rate. And how much do you think that's really going to be? Not a heck of a lot. 5-6%. However, anything over $2,050 in earnings is taxed at your rate. So you might think, well, that means I can only put $2,000 into the plan. I didn't say that. I said $2,000 in earnings. So think about this. A $100,000 account in Junior's UGMA account to earn $2,000 on a $100,000 account, that's a 2% interest rate. Can you get 2% at the bank? No. Now, could you reasonably get a 2% dividend on a stock portfolio or a mutual fund portfolio? Sure. But the first $2,000, much of it is going to be very limited taxation. And you have flexibility. The money can be used, and it's exclusively for Junior's benefit. Doesn't have to use it for college. You don't have to worry about what happens if he doesn't want to go to college. Maybe he wants to go to a trade. Maybe he wants to just drop out of high school. Whatever it could be, I don't know. You have money to give him or her. But there's one drawback that you need to know about. When Junior turns 21 years old, he becomes no longer a minor in the state of Massachusetts. And as such, that money's his or hers. Now, I still have clients who are 84 years old that still have UGMA accounts for their 61-year-old children. Now, could the 61-year-old child walk into my office and say, give me my money? Of course they could. But in many cases, those 61-year-old children don't even know the money exists. Now, I'm not saying that that's a good thing. I'm really not. But it's a way for you to put some money aside for your children's benefit. And at age 21, yes, they could take control. But if you don't want to let them know about the account, they don't have to have control of it either. But they could use that money for the down payment on a house. They can use it to buy their first car, to put the security deposit down on an apartment. 529s make sense if you want the money exclusively used for college. But any money that you're putting in that account that you say, well, if we don't use that money for college and we just give it to junior afterwards, you know what? You've got to pay tax on all of the accrued and accumulated interest and earnings on that account, and it's taxed at ordinary income tax rates. So there is a balance to find. I'm not saying that the UGMA account is best for everybody, but I am saying that there makes it makes sense to put a balance there. Now, some will argue, they'll say, well, Mark, I've heard that if you put it in UGMA or an UTMA account, it will screw up your financial aid calculation because that's juniors' money, and 40% of that is counted towards their contribution for college. That is true. That is true. Like I said, in certain situations, it makes sense. In others, it does not. In others, it does not. Certainly, if you're trying to apply and you believe you're going to get financial aid benefits, if you believe you're going to get them and get them significant, substantial, yeah, I'd be careful about leaving a lot of money in UGMA accounts. But if you're planning on financing your children's education, if you're planning on taking out loans, if you're planning on relying on grandma or grandpa or yourself or your own cash flow to pay for college, the UGMA account might make sense to you. Just throwing it out there. Just something to think about. We got to take a break. We got one final segment left, and I want to ask you this question. Do you know how much your spouse makes? Do you know how much your spouse makes? Well, when we get back, I'm going to share with you a report that just came out of Fidelity that talks about how we understand the finances of our spouses. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away.
Do you ever wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Flying cows, killer rabbits, and a bevy of beautiful showgirls. Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater proudly presents Monty Python Spamalot, the smash hit musical lovingly ripped off from the motion picture Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Knights of the Round Table.
Join King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table in this outrageous Tony Award-winning musical comedy, Monty Python Spamalot.
Everybody, always look on the bright.
Show-stopping musical numbers, French people, and knights who say me are just a few of the reasons audiences eat up Monty Python's Spamalot.
So try your luck and come along. Run your luck and come along.
Playing September 27th through October 9th, only at North Shore Music Theater. For tickets, log on to nsmt.org.
Spamalot.
Sponsored by ASR Roofing.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents for our final segment of the day. Perhaps you're cheering. I know I got to get back home. It's Labor Day weekend, and I'm going to try to enjoy time with just three children at my house. Got rid of Mindy, got rid of Alana. They're both off at college this past week. So we've got the three boys at home, and if we have any luck at all, I will get home. And Corey, my youngest, will already be out with his friends searching for Pokemon in the neighborhood. Noah will likely be asleep when I get home. And Jerry will probably be preparing to go out to work. Jerry, by the way, is now a pizza delivery driver. And he is working for Takis Pizza. If you live in North Andover, order pizza from Takis and ask for Jerry as your driver. And he'll show up with a smile and perhaps he'll tell you a joke or something. And he is loving that job. I will tell you, he absolutely loves it. He thinks it's the coolest thing in the world that he just gets to drive around and deliver pizzas. He doesn't even get dressed up. I said, Jerry, I said, you know, shirt, you know, just a T-shirt and shorts. Don't you think you could look a little? He says, Dad, I'm a pizza delivery guy. What are they expecting me to dress up in? Like a suit and come with a little towel over my arm and say, your pizza, madame. No, it's just he's delivering the pizza. So he loves that. Anyway, I promised you I would talk about two things. I told you about the spouse thing, that we wanted to try to figure out whether you know how much your spouse makes. But before we do that, one quick thing I wanted to share with you. I told you earlier in the show I was going to try to figure out a way or help you try to save some money on your mutual funds that you own. I want you to take a look at your statements and take a look to see what share class of mutual fund you own. And you might say, Mark, share class, what are you talking about? Take a look at the funds that you own. You'll either see something that just says Fidelity Growth with no letter after it at all, or you might see something that says American Balanced Fund A or B or C or F or N or Z or any of those things. If you see a fund that just says Fidelity Growth or Janus Fund with no letter after it, it means that you own what's called a pure no-load fund. Pure no-load fund. That means you didn't pay a commission for it. You're probably in a fee-based account, or perhaps you've done it directly with the company. However, many people, more than 50% of the population that owns mutual funds, will have funds that have the letter A after it. The letter A after your mutual fund means that you probably paid an upfront commission for the fund. That upfront commission could have been 5.75%. But I'm not so worried about that, to tell you the truth. Because in many cases, you could buy Class A funds in fee-based accounts recently, where they would waive the commission. It was called a load-waived A share account. So you didn't pay the upfront commission. But what those mutual funds did have is something that's called a 12B1 fee, or a service fee. Now, the only way that you would know that that fee existed is if you read the prospectus, and I know how diligently you all read those prospectuses. What it would say is that there was a built into the cost of the mutual fund. Every mutual fund has an expense ratio. We know that, an operating expense, what it costs to turn on the lights, to pay the portfolio managers, to run the actual fund. And that's easily identified in Morningstar. You go to Morningstar.com, go to Google.com, go to Google Finance, go to Yahoo Finance, whatever you want. But oftentimes within that internal fee is a 0.25%, what's called 12B1 fee. Some people like to call it a service fee. And this is a fee that is paid to the brokerage firm year after year after year after year after year for simply holding the fund and asking the advisor to service you. Now, sometimes the advisor gets that fee. Sometimes they don't. It's all based upon the relationship that they have with the brokerage firm. Well, under a recent ruling through the Department of Labor, they want to eliminate all 12B1 fees. But some people will say, well, wait a second. I bought a Class A mutual fund. I paid $10,000 for it years ago. And now it's worth $50,000. I have a $40,000 capital gain. How could I move it somewhere else to eliminate the 12B1 fee and avoid the tax on the gain? And up until the Department of Labor ruling, you couldn't. But now you can. Now you can. Every mutual fund that offers a Class A offering or a B offering or a C offering or any of these other offerings, they also offer what's called an institutional price. Oftentimes ends with an I at the end. Often many of these fund companies say it's a Class I share. The Class I share is the best and lowest possible fund price for that fund. And it's generally been offered to institutions, people who put up $2, $3, $9, $20 million to buy the fund. The Department of Labor has said that is not fair to the average consumer. We want that share class available to everybody in America. And we are willing to allow that investor to convert their Class A share to a Class I share at no cost, at no effort, at no new paperwork. All that you need to do is ask your advisor to do it. But how many of you have gotten a letter from your advisor telling you you can do that? Probably none. The past 3 weeks in our office, with the new rule from the Department of Labor, we have automatically converted every single eligible mutual fund that could go to these iShares and did it for them on our own. A letter will go out to them explaining what we did afterwards, but it was all to their benefit. In fact, for all of our clients, all 450 households, collectively, we saved our clients $25,000 over the past 3 weeks by by simply making that conversion. Did I make any money doing it? No. Did I lose any money doing it? No, not really. I mean, it cost my staff time to actually do the processing. Who lost money? The mutual fund company. They lose it in their fees that they were collecting, but it does not affect your performance. It doesn't impact the funds that you own or the stocks that you own. This was to your benefit, and you're going to be hearing more about this, but a lot of brokers and advisors don't want you to know about it. You know why? Because we just created work for them. Ask them. Ask them how you can convert your A shares, B shares, and C shares to I shares, to the lowest possible share class. If you want to learn more about that, or if you want to see how I can do that for you, how our firm can do that for you, give my office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. All right, last and final note here. I wanted to tell you about this survey that came out from Fidelity that said 40% of respondents have no idea what their spouse's annual salary is. They have no idea what their spouse makes. 60% have no idea what their partner might collect in Social Security benefits in retirement. And 1 in 3 people can't agree on how well off they'd be when they retire. So you commit your life to this one other person. One's working. The other might be working. The other might be raising children. Doesn't matter. You're committing a lifetime. I've been married to Laura. It'll be 24. Oh, my God. My anniversary is Tuesday. Better remember that. 24 years of my anniversary. Don't tell her, but I already bought her a present. I was in San Diego 2 weeks ago. I already took care of it, so I can. I'm glad, though. I just remember, though, that the anniversary is Tuesday, though. At any rate, you know, you commit your life to this person. You've raised children. You have a house together. And then all of a sudden, the kids leave. You're back to empty nesters. And now it's time to recourt and relive that life. And ultimately, the job goes away, too. And it's just the two of you. Yet 60% of people have no idea what their Social Security benefit might be of their spouse. They might know their own, but they don't know what their spouse's benefit might be. 40% don't know what their spouse makes for an income. And 1 in 3, a third of all people approaching retirees, have no idea what their situation in retirement will look like. That is sad, folks. That is very, 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 very sad. We need to work harder at that. So here are a few things for you to consider. Ask yourself, first of all, I hope you didn't answer no to those three questions. Do you know what your spouse makes? Do you know what your spouse will collect in Social Security? Or do you know whether you'll be financially well off in retirement? If you don't know the answer to these three questions, here's a few things for you to think about. Well, number one, first you have to define and try to understand, what are your personal, professional, and financial goals? What do you really want? Take a look at how much you spend. You may not want to look to see how much you spend, but you need to know. Do you have the resources accumulated, or are you in the process of accumulating enough resources so that you can fulfill the lifestyle you want? Understand what's liquid, what's not liquid. What will cost you tax money when you take it out? What will be tax-free? What options do you have? Will you continue to work when you retire? A lot of people say, Mark, I want to retire from my job at 65, but man, I'm not going to sit around on the front porch drinking lemonade and smoking cigars. That doesn't happen. We have several clients in their 80s and 90s who are still working. They might not work full-time, and oftentimes they do it just because it keeps them busy. It keeps them active. Maybe there's something that you and your spouse both like to do. We had a client that came to see us, oh, it's got to be 15, 18 years ago. I wrote about it in my first book, actually. They came to us, and it was their dream to both be able to retire at 55. Now, retiring at 55 is a nice dream. Most people can't retire at 55 and never work again. And that's what they said. It's not that we don't plan to work again. We want to retire from our corporate jobs and open a delicatessen in Florida. Do we have the resources to do it? And they had to borrow some money to build this delicatessen. But the thing is, they said, you know what? We're going to spend, all of our kids are gone now. We just want to spend time working together. We like doing stuff together. So we're going to build the deli together. We'll hire some people. And they have an enormously successful deli down in Palm Beach, Florida. They love it. They're now 66, 67 or so. Still haven't bothered to collect Social Security because they're making money. They love going to work every day. Their hours are 5:30 to 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 5:30 in the morning to 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's like a breakfast, lunch, delicatessen. That's it. Done. They get to enjoy the weather in the afternoon. They said, what we look forward to is every night after we close up the shop, we go down to the beach and we can watch the sunset. That's all they wanted. Very simple. So you've got to be sure you're having those communications about your personal, professional, and financial goals. And make sure also that you clarify your roles. Make sure who knows who's going to do what. Who pays the bills? Who takes care of the plumbing issues? Who calls the electrician? Who takes care of all of the new paint that needs to be done? Who's going to figure out the decorating? Who's going to plan the vacations? Who's going to buy the cars? Understand what everybody's roles are. And you know what? Give yourself permission to ask for help. Say, look, we might need to hire a professional to help us do this. Or talk about it a little bit, but when you get stuck in a roadblock, find someone that's a little bit objective, that isn't as rational, isn't as emotionally involved. And try to make good, smart decisions. And last, not least, if you're ready to get serious about your financial planning, and you're just unsure whether you can do it or whether you just know how to start, contact a certified financial planner professional. I'd be honored if you called my office. But there's plenty of certified financial planners out there. Our phone number is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. My firm is Friedman Financial. And each and every Sunday morning, I provide you financial advice in a language you can understand right here in the North Shore 104.9 studios from 8 to 9 a.m. We're up against the clock. I've got to get out of here. I hope you've enjoyed all these little tidbits of information today. I hope you found something of value. If you'd like to sit down and talk with us for a free initial consultation, we are here for you. Love to meet with you. Call my office, 978-531-8108. Schedule an initial consultation. Or if you just want to get my free newsletter, comes out each and every Friday. Go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. That's going to do it for me. I got to make room for Aurelia Nelson to come on in here with Curtain Up and tell you about all the great things that are happening all around North Shore and the surrounding communities. I'm out of here. Have a great Labor Day. My name is Mark Friedman. You've been listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North.